Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From St. Matthew's Gospel, the crowds that went before Jesus and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is our text. Today you may see now that the purple pyramids have been hung. And you might have noticed that the Gloria in Excelsis, glory be to God on high, is gone. You see, the wreath has appeared. It's Advent. So a happy and blessed Advent to you. And for the church, this is the beginning of a new year. You see, in the church, we don't wait for the calendar to turn from one year to the next. No, the church has its own calendar. The church doesn't follow. She takes the lead. And the church, as we enter Advent, is leading the world that it may go in a new direction, to a new place. In fact, the church this Sunday is leading us in a new direction, to a new place. Because the truth is that far too often we've followed and not led, even as Christians. We've followed the world's thinking, and we've followed the world's desires, and we've followed the world's agenda, and we followed the world's words. The world said, "You should want this." And we said, "Oh yes, we want that." The world said, "You should do this." And we said, "Oh yes, we'll do that." The world said, "You should be this." And we said, "Yes, we are that." Too often the world says, "Jump." And we jump. We want to be at peace with the world, but peace with the world comes with a high price. It'll cost you. To be truly at peace with the world will cost you your life. It'll cost you your life in Christ. Because a sinful and sin-filled world and a holy church can never be at peace. And so the church is here to call the world to something more. To call all people to something better, to call you and me to what is more and better as well. And what more is the church calling us to this Advent? To follow Christ, to desire his peace. And that's what the season of Advent is all about. The purpose of this season, you might say, is to make you discontent with your life as it now is. And I know that sounds a little bit strange. St. Paul said we are to be content in all circumstances, but Advent teaches us to be discontent with our sin and our life as it is. The Advent season is here to call you to repent of being satisfied with the status quo, to repent of being satisfied with how things have been this past year, to repent of the direction that you've been going, and to stir up in you a hunger and thirst for something more, for change, a change inside of you. By the Holy Spirit's power, there's so much more, and there's so much better to dream for and to hope for and to reach for. And so we heard from St. Paul this morning in the book of Romans chapter 13. He said, "Now is the time to wake from our spiritual slumber. Now is the time to cast out the works of darkness. Now is the time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Or in other words, St. Paul is saying, it's time to stop spiritual sleepwalking through life. You know, that dullness, that grogginess, that haze that makes our life of faith so much less than it could be or than it should be. And those works of darkness, you know what they are. Those things in your life, those thoughts, those desires, those words, those deeds, you want no one else to know, that you never want exposed to the light of day. Wake up and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't look like the world and the way it is, but put on his love and put on his forgiveness, his mercy, his life. Don't follow the world in sin and death, but this Advent follow Christ in holiness and life. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says, and give no room for the flesh, this world, to gratify its desires. Its desires that we be like it and that we follow the world. The prophet Isaiah said something similar in our first reading. He put it this way: Come, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks. And Isaiah isn't preaching peace with the world either. But he is preaching a different kind of fight with different kind of weapons. To fight not with swords and spears, with weapons of war, but to fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. To plow up the weeds of sin that have grown in our hearts and to prune the wildness that has spread its branches into our lives. That's the warfare that God's word brings. To root out our sin so that new growth may come, so new life may come, so there may be new possibilities and something better, so that we would not be content with the old life, but discontent with the old sinful life. So today, this Advent, as you come, look to Christ for something more and something better. And you know, that's exactly what the people of Jerusalem were doing when Jesus rode in on a donkey. They weren't content. They were looking for more. They welcomed him as a king that had come to set them free, because they thought that freedom from Roman rule would be nice. But Jesus was thinking that freedom from their sins would be even better. And you know, that's what Jesus was discontent with. He was not discontent to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He was not discontent to go to the cross. But he was discontent with your life of sin and with my life of sin. If we're unhappy with our sinful lives, how much more our Lord is dissatisfied and discontent. He's not content with the reign of sin in us. He's not content with the death that robs us of life. He's not content with the hurt and pain that we cause one another. He's not content with our selfish devouring of one another. He's not content when we put the things of this world before him and follow the world rather than follow him. And our Lord, when he comes, refuses to make peace with any of these things. So our Lord rode into Jerusalem discontent with these things to do something about it. He didn't just sit in heaven and wring his hands or demand that we change. He came. And he came to Jerusalem to do something about it. Now, the crowds that greeted him that day, even though they expected him to throw out the Romans, they were right about many things. They were right to call him the Blessed One who comes in the name of the Lord, because he is the Blessed One, and he does come in the name of the Lord. They were right to call him the Son of David, because he is descended from David according to the flesh. And our Lord came then, and he comes now, to answer their cry of Hosanna. Hosanna means save us now. It was a prayer. Hosanna, save us now. And he came to answer their plea. And by the end of that week, he would save them now. He would die. And his death may seem to the world like a defeat, but we confess that his death is the greatest victory of all. For by his death, Jesus, who is the Blessed One, brings his blessings to us. His death paid the ransom that set all people free. The ransom that sets you and me free. Free from a tyrant far worse than a Roman emperor and far stronger and greater than Rome. He came to set us free from the tyranny of Satan and from the bonds and shackles of sin and from the grip of death. And to set us free, to set us free from trying to think that following the world will give us the best life now. To set us free to look ahead to a life that has no end, to something better. And so the Blessed One gave up the golden crown for a better crown, a crown of thorns. The Son of David gave up a jeweled throne for a better throne, for a throne of the cross. And our King made a royal decree, as we heard last Sunday, that we might have something better than the things of this world. Father, forgive them. And the Father has forgiven. And the Father still forgives. Forgives you. Even for all that chasing after the world that you've done. For all the ways that we've wandered from the path of following our Lord. It is all forgiven. Our Lord's words of forgiveness are a fulfillment of what the crowd shouted and what we pray. Hosanna in the highest, save us now. And he says, forgive them. And Jesus continues to save us. His work in us and for us goes on still. In this life, we're always following after, and we've never fully arrived. And it's worth asking, as we enter this Advent season, how often have we still found ourselves discontent with Christ and following after the world, instead of discontent with the world and following after him? This season calls us to repent, to turn around, to come back to the font and come back to the altar and come back to the Word. Because through these means, the Holy Spirit makes us holy, sanctifies us with the holiness of Jesus. Through these means, the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives all our sins. Through these means, he creates in us a hunger and a thirst that is deeper than the things of this world, a hunger and thirst for the life that Jesus comes to give. And through these means, the Holy Spirit makes us satisfied with our Lord and with following him. And so today the call isn't just to move full steam ahead toward Christmas, as the world is doing right now. I'm sure you've already noticed, especially if you went out on Black Friday, I would imagine everything Thanksgiving was down, maybe on the sale rack, and everything Christmas is up. The world's just going full steam ahead as an end-of-the-year blowout celebration. But for us, Christmas is something more. We celebrate Christmas not as the end of the year, but as the beginning of our life in Christ. Not as the end of 2019, but as the beginning of something more and something better. You see, we look through Christmas, and we see how the God who came as the babe of Bethlehem comes to us now, here. We see how the body and blood that was laid in that manger and held in Mary's arms is now here on our altar and laid into your mouths. It changes your life, and it changes my life this Advent. And this is what you've been hungering and thirsting for. And this God of Bethlehem is coming back again for you. And when he comes again, it won't be in humility, but in glory. He won't be coming in bread and wine, but on clouds. And not with a donkey, but with his angels, as both bridegroom and judge. And to believe this, and to live like this, is to lead and not to follow. To lead the world while we follow Christ. And this leads in a new direction. It leads to a new place. We don't need to bemoan how the world celebrates Christmas. We should celebrate Christmas too and teach the world why. Because we know there's more. We know there's better. Jesus' birth is the beginning of a new birth for us, and Jesus' life means a new life for us, and Jesus' death and resurrection means a resurrection for us. And so Christmas is really not just an end, but a beginning. You might say, as we look at the set outside and prepare for living nativity, that the point of the church's life in Advent is to point the world to the living one that living nativity is all about. And as we do this, and as we live from his word and his sacraments this Advent season, and as we confess our Lord to others, maybe, just maybe, we can tell the world, and the world will listen. We can say, you can have this forgiveness and this life. And some will say, yes, we want to have that. We can say, you can do this. Live as a Christian, and the world will say, yes, we will do that. We can say, you can be a baptized and redeemed child of God. And we pray that some will say, yes, that's exactly what we want to be. So when asked, who is this? We'll tell them who we're following. This is Jesus, our Savior, born in Bethlehem, crucified in Jerusalem, risen from the dead, living and reigning to all eternity. The same Jesus who came then and who comes now and who will come again for you. In Jesus' name, amen.